Well, we're live from the National Religious Broadcasting Convention, and we're bringing you an edition of Finish Strong. I'm Dan Wheeler. I'm here with Brian Roland and Terry Steen. And we have a special guest, Mr. David Welday, who is the publisher, the owner of Higher Life Publishing. And David, we appreciate you stopping by today.
It's my honor to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So you fit in with our name of our podcast, Finish Strong. You're going strong. I don't know how young you are.
I'm an old guy. What are
It's how you feel.
Yeah, that's it. That's all about our view.
Well, tell us about your philosophy and where you are now in your ministry at this age, because we feel like a lot of people retire, and they retire to a life of luxury, but there's no Jewish word for retirement, which tells me the Lord thinks a lot of hard work.
Yes. Well, the reality is I would go nuts if I just stopped working. Because the truth of the matter is God still has given me energy, passion, interests. And so, you know, I don't want to shut that off. I think that's when people begin to wither and die a little bit. So am I at a stage where I might like to work less than 50, 60 hours a week?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's okay. Might I work a little smarter or, you know, instead of harder? Yes, that would be nice. But the reality is I haven't stopped sensing a call on my life. I haven't stopped being obedient to serving Jesus in my life. I have not stopped breathing. And so it's like, as long as I'm alive,
that's God, right,
how can you use me? I still have the opportunity to have influence and impact in somebody's life. I don't care whether it's the checkout girl that I meet at the grocery store, or playing golf with a buddy, or talking to an author client on the phone. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It all matters is, I guess, what I should say.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? And one of the reasons that we met and connected is through your parents. I knew your mom and dad pretty well. And I was thinking yesterday about the incredible legacy that our parents can leave for us and that we can leave for our next generation. And sad to say, your father just passed away recently, didn't he?
Yes.
And so that can be a tough time, a traumatic time. But I do remember his example. And how old was he when he passed?
He was 92.
Well, 92.
Yeah. He died almost just shy of a month ago.
A month ago. And he was still going strong. Your mom was going strong. They were involved in the church. So you, as a child, were able to see that example, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, God thinks generationally. The purposes of God cannot be fulfilled in the span of your lifetime or mine. And so God is a generational God. Over and over in Scripture talks about one generation declaring his works to the next. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I like to pay attention to, okay, how am I involved with impacting? I still have the opportunity to have some level of impact on my own sons.
Right.
And now I get to have impact on my grandsons, granddaughters, and I just get jazzed about that because, again, I don't think the purposes of God are confined to just my work life or my own life. And so, and to see God's plan flowing through me to generations to come, I just think that's part of it.
Yeah.
Could you give us a sense of your history and ministry, just kind of a brief synopsis of everything you've done?
Sure. I grew up in a church-going family. They weren't necessarily Christ followers or believers, but culturally, they just went to church, and so did I. Mm-hmm. And we moved a lot because my dad worked for Chevrolet Motor Division, and so we got transferred every
year. That's right, the new car every year, right?
It was a company car. Anyway, we would move to a new town and would invariably get involved in a church. But when I was a teenager, I think about 14, the church that we plugged into, their youth group was involved with a nationwide ministry called Young Life. And Young Life, if you know anything about them, they have phenomenal camps. And so my parents signed me up to go to a camp. And I was 14, and so my passion, my vision was, I figured it was time for me to kiss a girl. So I thought, this would be my opportunity. So truth be told is, as I went to camp with that being my mission, God had a bigger plan in mind.
Everybody needs a mission.
So there you go. And God can use anything. So I went off to this camp, and it was there that I was really confronted with the gospel in a way that I'd never really heard it before. So I would say that I responded to the gospel and came into the kingdom as a teenager.
Great.
And somewhere around that time, my mom got on fire for Jesus, and then that flowed over to my father. And so our family went from being typical Sunday morning churchgoers to being all in Christ followers.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, that so many people fall away from the Lord when they go off to college. But
yeah,
I got involved in a campus ministry. I was a worship leader, and so I started doing that. And I was in a fraternity as well. But I ended up getting even more passionate, more on fire, because I connected with Christian fellowship in college. And so my college years was not a backsliding year. I got even more passionate about that.
Yeah.
And I've just been serving the Lord ever since. It's kind of funny. If you cut me, there's really three things I believe. One of them is generational ministries. I love being a dad and now a grandfather. The other is connecting to the culture. I never went to Christian schools. I just went to secular schools, and I've always liked to see my faith lived out in a secular environment.
Yeah, that's great.
And the other is intimacy with God. I believe a lover will outwork a worker any day. And when you get a hold of the fact that God rejoices over you with singing, that'll compel you to holiness far more than any sense of duty or obligation ever will.
I love that.
So interestingly enough, I was a marketing major, and the last thing in the world I wanted to do was work for a Christian company. I wanted to go to work in advertising, because that was about as secular a field as I could find. And I'm a right brain creative kind of guy, and so I thought, I'll do that. But I was engaged to be married. I needed a job, and this lady kept asking me to come to work for their Christian publishing company, and I needed a job, so I took it. And that's really what got me into Christian publishing.
Wow.
And I started work for a magazine and helped build up the circulation for that magazine. And then that led me to eventually starting my own Christian publishing company. So I've ended up being in, it's God's sense of humor. I said, I don't want to work for a Christian company. And here I am running a Christian publishing company. So it's like, okay, I get it. So,
which is Higher Life Publishing.
Higher Life Publishing.
You founded it. Mm-hmm. You operate it. You've done it for multiple decades, right?
Well, I started it in 2004.
Okay.
And I saw that, okay, there's traditional publishing deals, but unless you're Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie, you're not going to get that traditional publishing deal. I don't care how great your manuscript is.
Exactly. Right.
And there's self-publishing, and it's kind of, I call that the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am crowd. It's like they'll take your
pay your fees,
pay your fee, but nobody really works with you on strategy and development or thoughtfulness. Is it the right book? Is it the right title?
Yeah.
And I thought there's got to be a different way. So we formed this kind of hybrid collaborative model that's kind of in between, where we get to work with authors and really help them shape and craft their message and have a strategy and a plan for how to get it in the hands of readers.
Yeah.
And so that's really where we fit. That's how I
got to work. That is so cool, because every book that you work on is a Christian message that is getting out to the world. How many? Any sense of how many books you published over the?
I'd say maybe 250, something like 50 books.
Wow!
And it just, not to correct you, but I'm going to correct you. It's like I intentionally formed the company and called it Higher Life Publishing and Marketing, because I didn't want to brand it or label it as just a Christian thing. So the rest, I get to work with business leaders, consultants, coaches, who may or may not be Christian.
I love that.
Now, everything we do is going to align with our values. So I'm not, and the truth is, most of our titles are, in fact, thoroughly, authentically Christian. But I'll publish a business book or a cookbook or something, as long as it's positive. It's like our tagline is helping our clients experience the thrill of making a difference. I want to put out positive messages to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
So 90% of our titles aren't that Christian, but I've done some fun things it's part of my outreach.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you've influenced a lot of authors, but how have some of your authors influenced you?
Wow. I think one of the things that I've really been able to see is the importance of multiple layers of communication. It's kind of like if you read People magazine and you get a subscription to it, great, but why do they also put it on the newsstand? It's because there are people who will never subscribe to it that want to get it that way. And so that's why we do print books and e-books and audio books and curriculum and why I do podcasts and or other forms of marketing, because it's like everybody wants to receive content in the way that they want to receive it.
Yes.
And so how can I take a life-giving, transformative message and make it available in as many different forms and formats as possible? But I think the biggest thing is along the way, I've had the opportunity to interact with and get to know so many amazing people who have really cool insights about life, about love, about God and faithfulness and kingdom.
Yeah.
And so that's just, I almost take that for granted, that I just get to interact with people who are influencing my life for the kingdom all
yeah.
the time.
Mm-hmm. And they got to be go-getters or they wouldn't be writing a book.
Yeah.
So they've got something on the ball to teach and to pass down.
Yes. Yeah. And again, you can preach a sermon and have everybody eating out of your hand right until the time they hit the church parking lot. Their phones go off, the kids are asking for lunch, and it's gone.
Yeah.
But if they take a book home with them, and you think about when you're reading a book, I don't care whether you're reading it at home before you go to bed at night or in the John or whatever it is, it's solitary time, and it's quiet time where the Holy Spirit can begin to sow that information, those principles into your life. And so I've really seen book publishing as an extension of ministry. So the emotion, the energy, the passion, the sense of the Spirit that I get if I'm listening to you in your church.
Yeah.
But once I get outside, that's hard. But if I'm reading your book, it's extended time where God can write those things on my heart in a deeper or in a different way than from a message. And so I see book publishing as an extension.
David, that's some interesting stuff, and I'm really excited about what you're doing, the impact you're having on the world. Let's get a little more personal now. Let's talk about the legacy that you want to leave. That's part of what our Finish Strong message is thinking about and deciding now what you can do to leave the legacy that you'd like to leave, what you want people to say at your funeral. What impact can you have on your children and your grandchildren, and what would you like them to say at the end of your life?
That's a great question and kind of a heavy question. When you think in terms of finishing strong, I was asking myself, what's the key to finishing strong? And my quick answer is living strong. It's like you don't finish strong because you, in the fourth quarter, in the last 5 minutes of the game of life, you decide to finish strong. No.
Yeah.
What finishing strong is because you committed your life to living well, to living strong. And so finishing strong is not a shift in mindset. It's just finishing strong means just continuing on the legacy of this is how you lived your life. And so to answer your question, I hope my sons say, I want to live my life the way I saw my dad live his life, which is really about faithfulness. I want them to say, I'm going to love my wife well because my dad loved my mom his whole life.
Yeah.
And I want to raise my kids well because I never questioned for a second that I was loved by my father. Mm-hmm. And that I saw my dad operate his business and live his life with a consistency, with an integrity that I'm proud of. I don't have to hide certain aspects or segments of my upbringing or my parents' life because he was consistent. So I think it's not a magic formula. It's about consistency and faithfulness.
Yeah.
And where does that come from, other than just there is a constant renewing of, the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. And so every day I want to say, God, I thank you that you've given me life and given me breath. And how can I live this day with impact and influence? And so it's not something in the sweet by and by or not just relishing what I did in the past, but it's like, and it doesn't have to be fancy. It's like, I want to be faithful, whether I'm cutting the grass on Saturday morning or washing my car or playing racquetball or golf or meeting with a new author client. It doesn't matter to me. I want it all. I think it all matters. And I think it's all kingdom. I think sometimes Christians have this sort of artificial separation. Like, this is my Christian life. Oh, and this is my real life for the rest of my life over here. And it's like, no, you can't separate your soul and your spirit.
So that's
like,
right.
And quit trying. It's like,
yeah.
So it's all spiritual and it all matters and it should all be kingdom, even if you're doing something that's, you're going to the grocery store with your wife. It's, I think that is the key. It's like, I see it all as kingdom, and
yeah.
I think I see it all as mattering.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff. And yeah. Take that another step further, because I just read the email you sent out where you use the analogy of how's your short game versus how's your long game.
Uh-huh.
Talk about that.
Well,
for a
you know,
minute.
People talk about, you know, in golf, you know, the short game is, you know, getting up on the green with your sand wedge or your pitching wedge, and the long game is how do you drive the ball or can you hit your 3-wood without, you know, going off into the
which,
woods.
By the way, I can't.
Trust me, I get it.
And we'll talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. We need healing, inner healing. But the truth of the matter is, to be good at golf is you need to have both.
Yeah.
And so it isn't a short game versus a long. The short game is I'm going to live today.
Yeah.
Well, but I also want to live like what you asked me. What do I want people to say about me at my memorial?
Exactly.
Service, you know, or celebration,
right.
Or something like
yeah.
that. So I think sometimes we're all results oriented, and so for me, it's like I tend to want to. I make to-do lists. I've got sticky tabs on.
Oh, yes. Me too.
And I've been accused, guilty of making lists of things that I've already done just so I could cross them off.
Me too.
Okay. So the reality is the short game is kind of that immediate, but I think the long game has to be in everybody's mind. It's like,
yeah.
God, every short-term decision, everything, is this playing into the long game? And there's so much in business that's like, what can I do to get a greater profit right now? What can I do to get a greater return on investment right now? What can I do to get a greater feel-good response or emotion right now? And so there's a tendency to lean into what I'll call the short game and miss out on making some of those harder strategic decisions that require thinking about the long game. It's like, yeah. If you want to be a doctor, you can't be in a rush to get out of school because you're going to go to a lot of extra schooling and then internships and residencies and things like that.
Yeah.
But you do that because if your wiring is such that I just want to live my whole adult life helping people and helping people get better,
mm-hmm.
That's playing for the long game.
That's right.
Sometimes you make inconvenient short-term decisions in order to play for the long game.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So it's never too early or too late to really start serving the Lord and living your life in a way that you want to stand before Him and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We have people in all stages, and when we say finish strong, we say wherever you are now,
mm-hmm.
Let's make the rest of our life count. You've done it for a long time, leaving a legacy. But we hear from a lot of people that say, man, I'm not a publisher, I'm not a writer, I'm not a speaker. But everybody has a part in the kingdom, and even if it's one-on-one over a cup of coffee, witnessing to a friend, right?
Sure.
It's something we can all do.
Everybody has this sphere of influence.
Yes.
So you might be able to share the same exact testimony that I have to share, or the same insight into Scripture or whatever it is that I have to share. But you know people that I'll never meet.
Right.
And that you know people that you're the only Jesus they will ever come in
Amen.
Contact with.
Amen.
And so everybody has a sphere of influence. And so how can I be faithful to representing the kingdom, representing God in whatever sphere of influence I have? So it doesn't matter the fact that you and I, it's like how many publishers, there are a lot of publishers out there. There are a lot of financial planners out there. There's a lot of anything else that needs to be done. But there's room for them because everybody has a sphere of influence. And so how can you be faithful with the connections, the opportunities, whether it's where you live or where you work,
right.
Or who you interact with,
right.
That you have. So be faithful with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to wrap things up. Yeah. We are so glad that you spent time with us. I'm wondering, would you mind praying for people who are listening that
sure.
are maybe trying to find that niche, that sphere of influence?
Be honored to. Father God, I thank you for the unique call that you have for each one of us. Scripture talks about all the days ordained for us were written in your book before one of them came to be.
That's right.
And so, Father, I thank you that none of us are accidents. None of us, even no matter the however we came into this world, it was by your divine appointment. And so, Father God, I ask that you would give to us, give each one of us a greater awareness of the divine appointments, the divine call that we were created to live into. And Father God, give us a passion and a commitment to discover that call and to live into that call and to be faithful to following that call all the days of our lives, whether we defined or discovered that early on in life or in the twilight years of our lives. God, help us to be faithful with what you've given us to the purpose and calls for which you've created us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, David Wellday, thanks for spending some time with us.
Yes. It's my honor.
And teaching us about leaving a legacy. And we hope that you'll tune in for our next episode of Finish Strong.
Thank you for listening to Finish Strong. For more information about Finish Strong and Fearless Faith, check out their website, ffaith.org. Make sure that you rate and review this podcast to help more people accomplish their God-given purpose so that together we can finish strong.